Hey everybody, we're back in the Blueprint today. I'm super pleased. I'm honored to have Emily Utter. She is a powerhouse when it comes to business coaching. She knows where sales meets marketing. She's got an acute sense of that. I know her. I love her. Emily Utter, welcome to the Blueprint. Thanks for your time,
Thank
man. I'm
you.
so glad that you're here.
I am so thrilled to do this with you. I was so excited when you reached out and invited me. So yeah, I'm excited to jam with you today. And I'm also honored. So here we are.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. So right from the beginning, there's a couple things. I remember when I first met you, and this is important because you have no fear.
Oh, that's hilarious because I actually totally do. But thank you.
Well, especially what I saw when it comes to sales, you just go there. And that's
Yeah.
like anybody that's running a business, I don't care. There's deals to close. I don't care if it's, real estate, like whatever we're dealing, there's deals to close.
Yep.
So, was there a light bulb moment when you just decided to go there? How did you shed that? Like what's that look like?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And my answer is it's kind of making me laugh a little bit. I was so bad at sales when I started this business. And I met you maybe a couple years into starting my coaching business. You and I met almost 10 years ago now, which is
Yeah.
crazy. I can't even believe that. But yeah, I was honestly really, really bad at sales. And I remember this was back when I was living in San Francisco. I had started my coaching business and I was dead set on hitting six figures. And I did the math. I had this year-long program I was selling, and I needed 25 clients to sell out this program. But I kid you not, I think I did 100 sales calls to actually fill this program. And I was so bad. I would call people the wrong name. I was really pushy. I was just not pleasant to deal with. And I remember, during that time when I was trying to sell out this program, going out to dinner with a friend of mine in SF, who she was the top salesperson for a massive software company that everyone's heard of, but I can't disclose. But anyway, she and I had dinner, and I was kind of sharing the woe is me of, I would do like, I kid you not, eight sales calls in a row and be completely dead and not close anyone. And she started probing and asking me some really good questions. And ultimately, what happened in that conversation was I realized, like, okay, this is a line in the sand moment. I am unwilling to keep having my sales go this way for two reasons. One was selfish. I was like, I'm hitting six figures and this is it. And this is my chance. And I'm effing doing it. So that was the first reason. But the second reason I was so emotionally torn up over this whole thing was because I was constantly speaking with people who I knew if they would just become my client, that I could totally help them. But I was just not doing a good job of actually getting people to that yes. So it was like something clicked in that dinner and in my mentality and my motivation and just my willingness to actually get really good at sales. And what I learned, not just through my own experience, but also through starting to teach sales to my own clients once I actually figured my shiz out, was that I was thinking of it completely wrong. And that the reality was when you have a good product, when you have a good offer, when you're confident, that does a ton of the selling for you just on its own. But then secondly, I had been completely missing this element of authenticity. And I remember this one sales call that I will never forget, where by the end of it, this woman was the perfect fit. It was like a great offer for her. In fact, I think she'd been referred to me, so she knew people I had worked with. And at the end of the call, she said, "I can't feel you. Like, this felt very robotic for me." And I was really ashamed, but I knew she was right. And it just started to shift my mentality in this moment, or in that moment, I should say. So I'm a huge fan of having structure. Like, you got to be trained on sales. And if you don't bring yourself to it, it really makes it hard for people to trust you and feel you. And the truth is, there's a lot of competition out there. And it's not something that I focus on, but the truth is, You have to be able to stand out when you're having a sales conversation with someone. They have to be able to develop that connection with you and that trust, because if they're going to be spending thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands or even more to work with you, they've got to feel confident taking that step forward. So that's kind of how this all started for me. And then of course, over the past decade, it's transformed and evolved into other things, but that's really where this all started was I'm so freaking sick of getting on the phone with people who I know I could help, and I'm just sucking at sales. So that kind of catapulted this journey. I never thought I would become like a sales expert in any way, but it's almost like I had to become that in order to build my business and become successful myself.
Yeah. Was Robot Emily working off of a script and not listening, or what's?
Yeah. And I was very pushy. I was very pushy, and it repelled people from me. There was a lot of force energy that I had, which partly came from my own insecurity, but it frankly also came from how I was taught by my first coach. And I had to do some unlearning around that. And what I love the most about what I've come to learn and what I've seen really work for my clients is you don't need any of that. You don't even need to know the psychological persuasion tricks. Like, I've actually never been trained in any of that stuff. And what I found really actually works is having a solid offer, knowing how to talk about it in a way that people actually understand, which maybe you've seen this, Steve, but I mean, I'm honestly amazed sometimes people will come into my program and I will tell them to mock sell me, like sell me your thing. And it won't make any sense. It's like a word salad, gibberish jumble of nothingness. So, of course, people aren't buying that. And I found that's actually what really makes the biggest difference. People are so focused on how do you handle objections and get someone to blah, blah, blah. But it's like with a good offer that someone can communicate clearly and with conviction, that does 80% of the job.
Yeah, clear, concise, and that's where the confidence comes from as well, as
Yeah.
far as not having the ums and ohs and all that kind of stuff when you're presenting like like when you first meet someone, that first impression, that's what I was looking for. Like you can
Yeah.
have one shot at that. So when you the elevator pitch, right? When you
Yeah.
unpack it, if they get it, they're deciding if they know, like, and trust you. Does that make
Yeah.
sense?
Yeah, totally. And here's the thing I'll say too is that even if you kind of jumble your words a little bit, if that conviction is there, your potential clients will forgive you for that. You don't actually need to be perfect. You don't need a perfect elevator pitch, but people can feel the difference between someone who's faking it and trying to be an expert in something versus someone who is an expert in something. And we know that. Whether we can consciously name it is another thing, but energetically we feel it. And that's why sometimes when we are on the receiving end of a sales pitch, sometimes there's just something that doesn't feel right. We couldn't name what it is, but we just know it's not right. And so that's what's getting communicated as well on this kind of subconscious energetic plane when someone is, let's say, selling something that's outside their wheelhouse, trying to be somebody they're not, trying to like put on a show to sell you. And the thing about my industry, which is coaching, personal development, is that like if I have to put on a show and be this like kind of person that I'm not in order to make a sale, this client's not going to like me once they become an actual client. So I've also found that that level of authenticity inside of the sales process also can predict how well you're going to get along once they're actually your client. So I used to try to be this like more buttoned up. I wore the suits from my lobbying days, which I don't have anymore. And then I would attract these clients where I was like, I don't really vibe with them, you know? And it wasn't their fault. It was me because I was trying to be someone that I wasn't. So there's a lot of lessons of authenticity and self-expression inside of sales and marketing and everything that I now teach.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on trusting your gut, right?
Yeah.
Is that something not only you teach, but you really practice?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, where it comes up is I have a very, and you know this about me, so you're probably going to laugh, but, and I think you have the same thing. I have a very strong BS meter. So if someone is kind of faking something or they're pretending they're an expert at something that they're really not, if they're my client, it's my responsibility to name that for them as gentle as possible, but also being clear so they know what I'm getting at. So I do use that. That's how I use my intuition in my work, is I can just feel when something is off. I also have a knack for seeing people's hidden gifts. I've helped a lot of clients completely change their niche in ways, in some cases, they never expected, but it's like I could see something. So as far as teaching intuition, it's not, I wouldn't say it's quite that. But the way that I will bring it into my work is, through inviting my clients to feel into what is really true for them. So inviting them to check in with their own intuition, but it's not something that I teach. It's kind of like this collaborative thing where I can sense something is off, and then when they're ready to admit it, that I'm right, then we can figure out, okay, so what would we need to do to tweak this? And it's usually, aside from the people I've helped do crazy niche pivots, aside from those people, it's often these things that we think are really subtle. It's these things that we think are small and maybe not worth our attention. But when we actually shift them, everything changes. I mean, even sometimes people doubling their revenue or more just based on these, I always call them like seemingly subtle, but they're not, because they're actually those core needle movers that make the difference between, let's say an offer getting crickets and one that sells out.
Yeah. You touched on something that I've spoken into many times, as far as a lot of people don't see their own greatness. Like
Totally.
self-perception is always skewed. Pick a percentage, man. It could be fifth, like it could be a little off, way off, but it's off. Like we don't see ourselves the way others see us. So sometimes it does take a friend, a coach, a mentor to be like, hey, Em, you're supposed to be doing X and you're doing Y. Yeah.
Yes. No, you're totally right. And I say this all the time. Our zone of genius is in our blind spot. We have to have someone else reflecting to us. And the other reason our zone of genius is in our blind spot is because it just comes so naturally to us. Like the way that you think about wealth management and all the little tricks and hacks and things that you and I were talking about recently, and that I know this entire series has been created around that theme. This is easy for you. This is like you can rattle off these things. You know it. You get it. It's easy for you. And yet it took you up until now to to go through your own reinvention, right?
For
And
sure.
it's the same for me. And it's funny because I was looking through some archives of my content to find things that I wanted to repurpose and reuse. And I realized that I launched my Express program back in 2019. And it was amazing. It was still my most fun launch I've ever done. And yet I've still been kind of like pretending that, I'm stepping into self-expression as being my thing. And I'm like, who are you kidding, girl? You've been leading with this for 6 years, right? And one of the things that was really cool when I launched Express was that for the first time, people came into my inbox and said, oh my God, this is so you. So this gift of being bold and being authentic and being self-expressed was something that was in my blind spot because I just naturally do it. But also, this is where we can have a lot of insecurities. It's like, oh, is it really good enough? It's where a lot of the imposter syndrome comes up. But I would argue that that's how we know we're in the right thing. It comes naturally to us. Other people see it, other people reflect back to us, and yet we're questioning it, even though we're getting all that feedback. So that's kind of when you know it's the thing. It's like we'll ask ourselves, is it really this? It's like, well, yeah, it really is that. That really is the thing.
Yeah. I knew. Well, it's easy to look back. It's easy to look back and be like, oh yeah, I knew. I especially like when we were doing our work together, I knew that I and at that time, I kind of stepped out of one of my bigger companies and but I didn't move forward as fast as now looking that I should have just because the imposter syndrome, the like it literally took one of my guys, one of my good friends, like crazy high level, Princeton grad, all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's calling me and he's like, "Hey man, I need you." And after those consulting calls, he's like, he knew I had I'd done some VIPs and stuff, but he's like,
Yeah.
"Why are you not incredibly forward facing? Why
Yeah.
are you not out there, out there?" And I'm
Yep.
like, shy. Like
Yeah.
whatever the thing is,
Yeah.
it's the not wanting to put yourself out there, because for me, probably perfectionism is the content good enough? Is the course good enough? Can I actually get everybody, like, you know me, no one left behind, right?
Yeah.
Can I get everybody across the line?
Yeah.
And so then you just have to decide you're going to do your best every day and show up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know that you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I am curious, having just heard that story, was that kind of like the pivotal moment for you that caused you to then actually start doing this?
Yeah, when you have someone that you respect at the highest levels and they're giving you feedback that you should be like, that was a great moment.
Yeah.
Like, this is someone that I thought was way above where I was at, and multiple phone calls, everything I gave him, he's like, "Oh man, I wouldn't have thought of that." And it wasn't
Yeah.
because it's just experience.
Yep.
It's literally, I'd put myself in those spaces. I'd
Yeah.
learned the tools. I'd stacked up multiple arsenals in those spaces because there's so many things that are interwoven, which, we talked about the other day. Like,
Right.
all your financial things have variable change, right? They all affect each other.
Yep.
So, anyways, it felt really good to get that feedback, and I was pretty much already there, but it did take that poke, that feedback from someone
Yeah.
that you admire. And when they're telling you, it's enough to get you off your butt.
Well, totally. And I think it helps too to have, friends and mentors in our circle who are like us and who can see the BS. And so I imagine that this friend of yours is like the type of guy that if he says something, he's not blowing smoke up your bum. He's very serious about, your talents and all of that. And I love that people know that about me. Like, people know that if I say a compliment or I suggest they move in a certain way in their business, they know I mean it. They know that I'm not just like giving them a compliment to butter them up, but that I genuinely see it.
Yeah, 100%. And it lands. So, hey, I wanted to shift, because we kind of touched on the authenticity piece.
Yeah.
I want to jump into exactly what we were just talking about. Like, I've had companies, I wasn't supposed to be doing that stuff. Same thing with your pivot. But
Yep.
that's something that in your program that you really dive into.
Yeah.
And yeah, so let's unpack that. It's you mentioned soul money to me.
Right. Yes.
So
Yes.
yeah, let's go there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's talk about this. So this is interesting. And actually, this concept, which I call the process of moving from safe money to soul money, was actually something that a client had reflected to me while we were doing the Express program. And really, the idea is that for many of us, and sometimes this just has to do with our evolution as human beings and as business owners, because I know, you and I, and probably most of your audience, are really devoted also to their own personal growth and development. So we're always learning, changing, growing, and all of that, evolving. And I find that many of us, and I've seen this a lot with my clients as well, it's like we'll get into a groove. We're selling something and it's selling pretty well, but then at a certain point we get bored of it, the motivation isn't there, the spark is kind of gone. Maybe we launch the same thing again, we get a quarter of the sales we're used to, the client results aren't as good as they used to be, and so it just starts to feel like something is off. And sometimes it just is an indicator that the program needs to shift a little bit, or the messaging, the position, something like that. But what I've found is often more true is that there's a bigger evolution that needs permission to come through. So I'll tell a story to illustrate what I'm talking about and what can actually become possible when someone is willing to kind of step off that ledge, like what you did. So I was coaching my group mastermind, and one of my clients, raised her hand, opened up her Zoom line, and she starts telling me about this launch that she wants to do. And I kid you not, she's almost like this. It's like, I'm like, girl, are you even awake? Like, what's happening? And granted, it was late. She was in Europe. She had a reason to be tired, but it was way beyond that. And I said to her, listen, I don't know what this is about, but I'm not helping you launch this. Like, the energy around this offer was dead. And I just knew and this woman's extremely hardworking. I'm like, I'm not going to help you with this. Like, this is just not right. So tell me, what do you really want to do? And she wanted to create a group program to support facilitators of psychedelic integration. So, it had started as she actually wanted to launch a program teaching people how to do summits like this. That's literally what she told me she was going to do. That's the thing I said, nope, I'm not helping you with that. Like, you can do it, but I'm not getting involved in that. And then she went on to create this brand new program, and she worked her booty off. So I want to say that because I'm not trying to paint a fantasy here. It's not like, oh, you just step into your soul money and become a millionaire. But she did absolutely crush her launch. She did over $500,000 in sales just on that launch. And that year, her business did $760,000 cash in the door. So this was pretty amazing, but it was a totally different direction than she had planned on moving, but it was so in alignment with her personality. She had this wild branding that was totally different from what you see in the coaching industry, and everything about it was so her. So I'm not surprised that she did $500,000 in sales. And again, she had the audience, she had a person helping her with sales, she had an amazing graphic designer. Like, she had all of these assets, but what was different was that her energy was behind it. Where she really wanted to be bringing her business was behind it. And that's how she was able to create that result. And, similarly, I've had clients who are selling, let's say, a high-end program, 25 grand. And there's just like these little inauthentic ways that they're talking about their work, or these slight inauthentic ways that they're showing up in a sales conversation. We clear that up. Sales like doubled. Like, that company that I worked with, their sales doubled in 1 year, from $250,000 a year to $500,000 a year, just by doing these tiny little things. And so I think the invitation really is first within ourselves of, okay, can I be honest with myself about what's going on? Because when business isn't working, it's freaking hard. And a lot has changed in the industry over the past several years. I think, even if someone hasn't experienced it, they've seen it with their peers, their partner, their friends, their mastermind buddies. Like, everybody has seen this, whether or not they've personally experienced it. And so, we can often want to blame the economy or, the algorithms on social media platforms and all of that. But I find often that when we kind of come to these places where things aren't working the way that they used to, it's like, yeah, we have to look at all the practical. Of course, that's a non-negotiable part of the conversation. But there's a deeper conversation, which is, okay, well, hang on. Am I really still aligned with this? And I think there's different personality types of business owners because, and I'll be honest, like, sometimes I'm jealous of the other type, because I think there's people who can like build a business, they're happy having a boring, stable business, and they can do it for 10, 20, 30, 50 years. Me, on the other hand, and a lot of the people I work with, it's like, if the creative spark inside of us dies, the business dies. Like, we just can't do it. We can't motivate, we cannot get this forward momentum and action without having something that we can like sink our passion into and actually like get juicy and excited about. So I'm kind of more for that kind of business owner, because I think the other people would be annoyed by me. But my way of looking at it is like, hey, everything is going to work better. And not only that, you'll be so much happier in your business if you allow yourself to move in that direction of that thing that feels unsafe. Because the safe money, as we think it is, isn't safe. And I've talked to so many friends, peers, clients who they get to a point where their business is plateaued. It's like they're stuck at 500K or 200K or wherever it is that they're stuck. And it's like, well, why are you still pretending you want to do this past thing? I know you don't want to do it. My BS meter sees it, you know? And it is risky. It is scary. I'll be honest. Like, I know you said I'm fearless, but I'm not, you know? When I'm making a pivot or taking a risk, it's like, ugh. But then I can also see, well, the other stuff's actually not working anymore. So it's a false idea that continuing to sell the same thing over and over and over the same way, if the math isn't mathing, the math isn't mathing. It's like it's not working. So let's accept, and even as uncomfortable as it is, be willing to look at that. Another thing I see a lot too is like people will choose a niche that they think is going to be profitable, and they'll choose something that they're not really an expert in. Well, guess what? Your whole audience can feel that. It's not going to sell. I see a lot of people move into business coaching because they think, oh, well, you know, everyone wants a business coach and it's the easiest thing to sell. It's not. I've helped clients in all kinds of niches, like the psychedelic niche, how to have an orgasm. I mean, I've had intuitives, I've had, you know, love coaches for gay couples. I've had all kinds of different clients, and it just doesn't matter. When you're outside of your zone of genius or outside of a zone of passion that you can genuinely get excited about, it's not going to work. It will work to a point and then it will just stop working. So that's when we get to those it's not working anymore moments. That's when it's like, okay, we got to get real with ourselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I even got tested on that a couple times as I had my private clients and it was evolving into a bigger program. Twice the phone rang and that safe money was like knocking on the door, you know. I had a colleague, he's like, "Hey, we're starting a new fund, we need you." And the money was great. But I had to tell him, I'm like, I just don't care anymore. Like, literally, you don't want me because I'm not that guy that's gonna fly to, you know, three states in a week anymore. Like, it's not happening because I'm having too much fun educating and getting people to a better place and just creating like crazy possibilities for people.
It's
It's
amazing.
yeah. So, but it's interesting to be tested. And
Totally, totally.
yeah, the other thing that I'll say when you talked about there kind of is no safe money, every company I've had has lasted 10 years, either because I sold it or things change. Things shift. And that's what I tell like my 9-to-5ers. They're like, "Oh, well, it's safe." Like, man, do you know how many people I've seen really making good money, and it's gone the next day, either because their position got outsourced or like all the reasons, whatever it is.
Completely.
So, what's safe is the soul money that you're speaking into because you're in more control. And you can pivot when it's time to pivot, or you can make those small adjustments to get to the next place, wherever that is, whether it's financially or the next client you're going to be helping, the next niche, whatever the case may be, right?
Oh, I love that. No one has ever said this before about how the soul money is actually safe. That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that because it's never occurred to me to talk about it like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, I've experienced, you know, like I don't want to go off on my stuff,
Oh, no,
but
it's cool.
I've experienced it way too many times. Like even having parents, you know, or grandparents, and plus, you know, I'm from a huge family. So when your siblings are checking in on you and they're like, "Are you sure?" And
How's
I'm
your little
like,
business going?
"Yeah." And I'm like, like, you know, for example, we were in oil and gas and had big, you know, Chevron, Oxy, BP, you know, like we were an environmental company keeping everything safe, but those were our clients. And We've had subsidiaries of those big guys go bankrupt. So, like, you think you're safe because you've got this monster that you're taking care of, but really it's a giant thumb on you. And when they don't want to pay, they don't. And it's just, and like, if they, like, I don't want to get too in depth into a corporate structure, but if they dissolve the entity and there's no money there, I don't care how many lawsuits or like what that litigation looks like. You can chase it, but it's not there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's when I really shifted into just knowing that you have to be the captain of your own ship.
100%.
Yeah.
And what I've also found is interesting is that the more that we step into what we're really supposed to be doing, people and opportunities just gravitate to us. So I remember I did a summit actually just like this one, called Express. I think it was, oh no, it was called Expressed AF. I won't say it. But you could
Of course it was.
y'all can translate it, right? So I did that in 2019, and normally people will say, you know, give yourself a few months to put a summit together. But I was in Barcelona, I was staying with my friend, and I had just this dream list of who I wanted to bring into my summit. And I kid you not, within 48 hours or maybe 72 hours, I was full. And then I ended up being overfull. I think I wanted to connect with 20 people, and I think I ended up having 30. And it was like yes after yes after yes after yes, because people were so jazzed and turned on by the topic. It was like, again, everything in that topic for me in that realm was so easy. And I don't like talking about business like this because, you know, I've worked with a lot of newbies in my days, and I am just not someone to talk in these magical thinking terms, right? Like, business is not easy. I'll just say that straight up. But we can have these experiences that feel just almost magical or miraculous when we're really in the zone, because people can't help but want to be a part of it. It's like when you reached out to invite me to be a part of this, it's like, of course I'm going to do this. Like, there's such interesting conversations that I know are going to be had throughout this entire series. It was like a no-brainer for me. And like I said, an honor to be included in it. And I find that the more we can lean into these places where, yeah, we have imposter syndrome and we feel funny and it feels like a risk, that's where the ease really can start to come in. So it's work, but it's like the easier work.
Yeah, that magnetism is real.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, whether it's confidence or experience or just that charisma, other people gravitate.
100%.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I think it's something to be aware of. Just like you were talking that your client was halfway, like she was boring herself.
Totally.
She was boring herself to death because she was not on the right path. So I think it's something
Right.
that I always check in with my clients to make sure that they're really doing what they want to be doing, especially
Yeah.
when you feel you'll feel when there's something underneath their skin that's like that needs to be itched so they can get it out when there's
Yeah.
a pivot that's getting ready to happen.
Yep.
So, and sometimes they just need the permission or someone else to see it, as we spoke into that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is something, you know, coming back to the intuition conversation, that I've had to really start to trust myself more in it. And I have a past client who's coming to mind right now. Her name is Sarah. And when she came to me, she was a nutritionist. And we had done a mastermind call where I had all my clients share a little bit about their messaging, and hers was so good. I mean, no notes, it was perfect. But I remember feeling really, so I had no feedback for her, but I remember feeling really unsettled after the call. And I reached out to my support coaching team because I use them to be another view. It's like, am I projecting? Like, are they seeing what I'm seeing? So I reached out to my support coach. And I said, hey, you know, I know Sarah's bullet points were spot on, perfect, no notes. But I feel like she's supposed to be doing something like witchy and spiritual. I just think she's totally in the wrong niche. And my coach said, I agree with you. And so I followed back up with Sarah and I was like, listen, I don't want to drop a bomb on you and it's always your choice, but I have a feeling that, by the way, can you hear the mariachi? I live in Mexico City and
No, that's awesome though.
there's
Is it
like
out there?
mariachi happening out there. There's always some kind of noise in Mexico City, but I love it. I delight in it. But anyways, someone's getting serenaded. But anyway, so I came to confess to Sarah, back in our Facebook group, and I was like, this is going to be a big one. I don't want to pull the plug on your existing business because everything you're doing is great, but I feel like you're supposed to do this other thing. And she said, you know what? You're right. Turns out she's like a psychic medium. She talks to dead people. She ended up launching a lucid dreaming group program out of nowhere. I mean, her audience has never heard a peep from her on this because it's always been nutrition, weight loss, things like that. She launches this program, immediately sells it out the first round, like quickly. Like, I think it happened within maybe 2 weeks. It was crazy. And so that was really, and this was years ago now, that was really validating for me as well to be able to see it because, I never want to put clients come to me to make money. That's just the reality of it. They come to me to make money. It is my job. Obviously, they have to do the work, but that's the promise of hiring me is I'm going to help you get a return on your investment in the form of sales. And so I was a little nervous to throw her into something new, and she absolutely crushed it. And that was really validating for me that, okay, I can do this. And again, it's still always the client's choice of if they're going to go in that direction or not. But it's like now I have these series of examples of where this has been true. And frankly, this is some of my most favorite work that I do because I don't know what it is. I don't know why this is my thing, but I love seeing people share more of their true personality, whatever that is, even if it's a very peaceful, quiet, and calm personality. It's like, be more of that. Like, whatever someone's thing is, be more of that. That's what I'm
Yeah.
with.
I was just going to go there with you as far as the marketing aspect.
Yeah.
But that's the best way. How do you teach them? Because essentially it's being the larger than life version of yourself, but
Yeah.
in authenticity and integrity, right?
Yes.
So if they don't see it, if I don't see it, how do you find that? How do you, like, obviously
Yeah.
it's a joint venture.
Sure.
How do you coach that? How do you coach them into that and finding the thing or the things that will work, especially on the marketing side, to go big, to be different, to be
Yes.
seen?
Yes, totally. Okay, it's such a good question. And before I even answer it, here's the first thing I want to say, because I know that I have a big personality and I'm a joker and, I'm loud. I want to make it so clear to everybody who watches or listens to this interview that self-expression does not mean being like me or being like the big, bold, hilarious, loud person that right? This is about being more of you, whatever it is. So if you are, a silent monk, great. Let us see that. If you are very nerdy and scientific and very data-driven, yes, like fucking go there. That's great. So whatever it is, like you're a very practical thinker as well. You're like, and you're very strategic. You're like, ooh, boom, boom, boom. We could do this and this, da, da, da. Be more of that, right? So the invitation to everyone who's listening and watching is, this is about being more you. And that said, for lots of reasons, many of them cultural, social, maybe it has to do with how you grew up. Many of us are, even as adults, figuring out who we really are when we can take away society's expectations. And if we would actually give ourselves permission to be who we really are. And so I find that what is really helpful is to actually do some self-reflection. So I mentioned earlier my Express program. So the very first homework that I give in Express is, pretty much everyone has a cell phone these days. We all have the little notes doc. For a day, for an entire day, track every single way that you self-censor. So it could be, your partner does something that hurts your feelings and you don't say something. Okay, write it down. I didn't tell my partner that it hurt my feelings when they did this, or I didn't tell my assistant that they made this mistake because I was in people-pleasing mode, or I went to the cafe, they gave me my latte with oat milk, but I asked for almond. It's like there's these little ways that we do this self-censorship thing all the time. Even just before we started to record, someone was being really loud in my building, and I almost had to say, "Hey, I'm jumping on a call." I didn't end up having to because they stopped, but it's like that was a little moment of self-censorship where I needed something from my neighbor and I didn't ask for it. So that's a really great place to get started. And then as far as, marketing goes, and by the way, the gift that I'll be offering for your audience has a lot to do with this, but I'll give you kind of a little preview right now. Another example that I learned through coaching my clients on their own self-expression, I remember we started Express and it was the first time I launched it. And so I just asked the group, I said, "What do you guys want? What do you want to experience by the end of this?" And they said, "We want to be unapologetic." And I was like, "Okay, cool. So if you're not unapologetic, that means you're being apologetic. So to whom or what are you apologizing?" So the easiest way to think about this is, let's say you're drafting a post or an email, something you want to share on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you post. And you notice a voice in your head saying, "Well, I shouldn't say this because this." That's the self-censorship. So you have to bring awareness to it. And so the most common, people, places, or things that people are apologizing to without realizing it is things like your church, your family, your partner, your past clients, your current clients. I've had a lot of clients who they're in the midst of a pivot. They want to talk about it publicly, but they don't want to offend their past clients. They don't want to come across and have and as, "Oh, I hate all my old clients, so now I'm doing this," right? So there's all these different ways where we self-edit. And the most important thing to start with before we can do anything else is to become aware of it. So the self-censorship, kind of journaling, noting down, and then similarly figuring out, because we all do this, we all apologize to someone. So I know sometimes for me, it's like a mentor. It's like a mentor who I want to see me a certain way because I want to make them proud, or I want them to think my content is great, or whatever. Or maybe even my own clients. It's like, "Oh, well, I teach content, which means every post I write's got to be a banger, So it's like going through that process with ourselves, which takes, some self-awareness to be able to figure out, okay, where am I faking it, or where am I self-censoring? Where am I almost saying the thing, but not saying it? In fact, last year I launched a new program called Say the Thing because it's been an Emilyism for many years of just say the thing. It's like you and I could be talking and you could say, "Hey, I really want to write a post about blank, but I don't want to because, and I would be like, "Steve, say the thing, like write the freaking post." And the results my clients have gotten from doing this are just bananas because the reality is the internet has a lot of really boring content. It has a lot of stuff that's really cliche. We have less attention span than a goldfish at this point. Like our brains are scrambled eggs. But if your stuff is consistently good, people will stop. And the reason why people will stop is because you're sharing a unique perspective. You're sharing something in a way that nobody else is. And you are saying the thing that other people are thinking, but no one has the guts to actually say out loud. So when you can be that person, which again can be very calm and peaceful, it doesn't have to be confrontational, it doesn't have to be polarizing, it doesn't have to be aggressive. And when that stuff's fake, it's bad. There's a woman in my feed right now who it's like, you can tell she just went through a niche pivot, but every post is like full of rage. And I'm like, "Girl, chill." Like, I'm actually her ideal client and I am just not interested right now because every post is so aggressive. And I just think it's probably not authentic for her. That's probably why it's landing that way for me. But yeah, this is a long way of answering your question, which is part of how we figure this out is by very intentionally creating awareness around it. Because I don't think people are out being inauthentic on purpose, I think it's like we've gotten feedback from our parents, our family, like whoever that has made us feel small or afraid to be who we are. And so it's this process of kind of unraveling and unlearning those things and coming to have the felt and lived experience that the more authentic we are, the more naturally magnetic we become, and the more easily money will flow to us. And that's just the truth. That's not fluff. It's like, who are you going to pick and whose content do you read? It's obvious. You're not reading the cliche, like everybody has said it already stuff. You're reading the person who's like, you finish their post and you're like, damn, that's a perspective I hadn't thought of. So, yeah.
Yeah, that piece right there is gold. Just so that everybody knows that the secret sauce is you. And
Yeah.
it's the you that gets out of your own way, that listens to that narrative in your inner monologue. That's like, you couldn't have said it better. I'm going to steal it. Say the
Please,
thing.
please steal it. Yes, yeah, say the thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So it's because what I wanted from that, like I got what I wanted,
Okay, good.
but what I thought I wanted was, hey,
Oh.
Em, what's your secret? Like, what's your secret sauce? What's the
Yeah.
image that works? Or what's the viral, BS? Because we were kind of going there. You see, like that's
Yeah.
my ick moments on socials right now, especially with my team getting, like, we're getting ready to put everything on blast.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been forward facing, and it's one of those things that we get to go. It's go time.
Heck yeah.
And when I see the stuff that's like built to be viral, like fake conflict or like
Totally. Yes.
fakey whatever, I'm just like,
Yeah.
oh man.
I
And
know.
I never realized it, but in my head, you just put the words to it. Say the thing, man. Like,
100%.
whatever you're selling, like, whatever you're doing, say the thing. Because,
Yeah.
I mean, for me, especially like in our finance world, time is money, and like, get
Yeah.
to the point. Like,
Yeah.
let's go. And if it's entertainment, that's a whole different thing. But if it's sales, if it's marketing, get to the point. Let's go.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about me is like, yeah, I had sales training from a previous business coach, which is a very different approach than what I teach. But, the things I'm most known for, I don't have the type of training that people would think. Like, I have zero sales psychology, sales persuasion, NLP. I have none of that training whatsoever. And yet my clients get just ridiculous results. And the same for the content. Like, yeah, I've learned a bit about copy from here and there. I hired actually one of my own clients to teach some of the copy fundamentals to my mastermind, but I've never really, been formally trained in that. And I share this not as a brag, although I know it could potentially land like that, but I'm saying this because I want people to know that like you don't need all that. Like, yes, you need to be trained in sales because you need a structure in order to be successful. Like, that's obvious. But my clients who do the best in sales are fully bringing their personality to it. And my clients who get the best response from their content are just being honest. So, yeah, am I going to tell a client, which I do all the time, hey, your call to action, your CTA is weak. It's weak sauce. I will tell them that. That is a weak sauce CTA. Fix it, right? That's like the strategic tweak I will make to a client's message, because obviously we're trying to make money around here. But as far as like how they write and how they share, the reason why they are selling out programs from their content is because they are being so bold in what they're willing to share. Like, I have a client who she's a dating coach and she works with very successful women. And very successful women are pretty strong-willed. They can be very stubborn. They don't always want the feedback, but she will say the thing these freaking women need to hear. And she sold out and waitlisted for the first time in her decade of having a business just by taking some of my feedback. So this stuff is legit. Like, it really works and it's already inside of all of us. We just have to know how to connect with it. And then we have to have the courage to put it out there. So I'm not at all about, this fake polarizing whatever. It's not that. The truth is polarizing. Like, I follow this woman who actually did hire. She talks about your skin, and her whole thing is organic products aren't good for your skin. That is so polarizing, but she's not trying to be polarizing. It's just like the organic people freak out when they read her content. So I wanted to share that example because I don't want people to think it's like these totally off the wall things, but your truth is polarizing to a segment of your audience, right? Like, Steve, you probably have people in your world who are still going to argue for the JOB over and over and over, and that's fine. They're not your people. There's people in my world who just prefer the vanilla. They don't want to ruffle feathers ever. Well, cool. They're not going to like working with me anyways. So, yeah, I'll leave it there.
Nice. No, it wraps it up nicely. Hey, we are pushing time a little bit, and I just want to make sure that you don't want to put a spotlight on anything before we part ways.
Well, I'd love to talk a little bit, and maybe you want to do this next, but I'd love to talk about what I created that just came hot off the press today,
Yeah.
which is something that will help your audience do what we've been talking about, specifically when it comes to content creation. So is now a good time to talk about
Of
that?
course, let's go.
Okay, awesome. So we just finished this. It's a guide called Uncensored Content Prompts. So the way that the guide works is that at the beginning of the guide, I'm walking you through a little bit of what we've already talked about. So there are some journaling and then self-reflective exercises that are at the beginning of the guide. So you can take your time with it, consider some of the questions that I'm answering, because what will happen as you do this is that you're going to start to uncover why you are censoring yourself, who you are apologizing to. You're going to start to create awareness in these places where you didn't have it before. And then in addition to that, not only did I give you a month of content prompts that you can use, not that you have to put out content every day, but if you wanted to, you have a prompt for every single day. Just interesting things to get you thinking about that are going to be maybe different from what your audience has seen from you before, and that are the same types of content themes and angles that I and my own clients have used to be extremely successful selling, whether it's email, social media, things like that. So the guide is $11, but I created a promo code just for you guys, which is wealth, all caps. So I know we'll have the link somewhere. I don't know if you guys will get it via email
Yeah.
or if it's on this page. But I think this would be a great place to start. And since it's free, why the heck not? Just get it. If you don't like it, then you never have to open it again. But yeah, the whole idea of what I created was giving you those first couple of steps to start shifting the way that you show up in your content. And these really are the same core philosophies that I teach in my paid programs. So, you can start with a little DIY. If you end up wanting to do a paid thing with me later in the future, of course you can, but you can do this on your own. You can start to shift your content literally from day one, as soon as you've kind of gone through some of your own process, because I will say, I don't think this is going to work super well if you don't also have an honest moment with yourself about like, oh yeah, okay. Well, I've been censoring because of this. So do that part first. Don't miss that. You don't need to make some whole drama about it, but just increase your awareness a little bit, because it's going to help quiet that voice that we all know, which is the one where we're about to hit post and then we don't, or we edit
Yeah.
something out to make it softer. So the whole purpose of this guide is to help you create the awareness, but then help you quiet that voice so that you can hit post, even though not everyone's going to love it. That's just how it works. So I'm really excited about what we just created, and I think it's going to be really valuable for your audience. So again, the promo code is wealth, all caps. But I know that'll be in the notes and all of that.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, everybody will find it. And thank you. Super generous. Like,
of course, of
yeah,
course.
free. I also want to touch on the fact that it makes it so easy, like a guide like that,
Yeah.
to just like 30 days. Once you do that,
Totally.
then you're kind of in the habit.
Yep.
And the one question I was going to ask about that is, how easy is it to go off template on that, and then
Oh,
to
yeah.
like jump back and forth? Yeah.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, the guide's going to help you build that muscle, which is what you're referring to. And it's
Yeah.
going to take the guesswork out, right? I know a lot of people sit down at their laptop or on their phone. They want to write something, but they're stumped. So, this takes away the guesswork and it gets you thinking on interesting topics. So, there's a lot in this guide that will get you to start thinking. And what I think people are going to realize as they start to utilize it is that content is everywhere all the time. And so, yeah, you can use my prompts, but you're going to start to see where, oh, you just had a session with a client. Well, that's a post. There's something cool you could do with that. Or, you just had a weird experience. Like, even when I go to the markets here in Mexico and I see kind of the funny ways that people sell or how aggressive they can be, I'm like, oh, I could write a post about how aggressive they are, like trying to sell me the fruit at the market. It's like, when you get in that habit, content is everywhere all the time. You're going to have more than you could even possibly publish. So, but it takes kind of, like you said, getting into that habit. But I do think that once you all start to kind of see what's in the guide, it's going to click because, for example, it's not just content prompts, it's getting you to kind of brainstorm interesting things. So even, these behind the scenes client conversations or, things that you and I would talk about just between us, but then it's like, well, why couldn't I let that inspire a post? The truth is, like, if people really remember this and apply it, I promise you it will make you money. The things that you think about and talk about behind the scenes are where the money is. And the reason why is because nobody's doing that. So I'm not saying like give away your business secrets. That's not what I'm getting at. But it's like there's conversations that you and I could have that would be like, oh, these are the real behind the scenes conversations that people are having. And I put that out there and people are like, oh, damn, that's true. And nobody has said this.
The
So
juice is in the B-roll.
yeah. And I don't want to put pressure. I don't want people to think you have to be like so unique and all of this. I promise you it's not. You just have to be you, which, by the way, you're already an expert at. So, this is teaching you how to apply who you already are and what you already believe into an asset, which is your content, that can make you money.
Absolutely. I love it. All right. Well, everybody wants to work with you. Where did they find you?
Emilyetter.com is my website, but even better is to find me on social because I will say my website is about 100 years old and dusty and rusty. But you can find me on Facebook, Emily Rose Utter, and then same on Instagram at Emily Rose Utter. So I'd love to connect with you on social. Feel free to send me a request or a follow, and I'd love to follow you back, check out what you're up to. And if you use this guide and you write a post that you know is really like was a big deal for you,
Yes.
please tag me. I want to see it. I want to be inspired. Like, this is the thing I'm genuinely most excited about is like, ooh, I'm going to see like really sexy content in my feed now. I used to literally scream when I would see certain clients post out. Like, I remember thinking, oh, my neighbors can hear this because I will read something that I know took a lot for them to share, but was so good. And I'm like, yes, So I can't wait to see your content. Please do tag me. And yeah.
Nice. All right, well, Emily, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure seeing you. It's been way too long. We'll have to fix that.
I know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll come down to Mexico City.
To Mexico City. Thank you so much, Steve, for this opportunity.
Yeah.
So glad we got to reconnect because it's been way too long, like you said. And yeah, I can't wait to see the other interviews as well.
Yeah, it's all coming. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks again. Thanks for your generous gift. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much.